relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
For the trust reposed in me, I will return the courage and the devotion that befit the time. I can do no less. We face the arduous days that lie before us in the warm courage of national unity, with the clear consciousness of seeking old and precious moral values, with the clean satisfaction that comes from the stern performance of duty by old and young alike.
I think there's only one radio show in the known universe that can go from the Star Wars anthem, the official Star Wars music, to the inaugural speech of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We do that because it's May the 4th, which means, of course, it's May the 4th be with you. It is Star Wars Day, and we go to Franklin Delano Roosevelt because of our regular guest, Lord Conrad Black, your favorite commentator on things presidential and with regards to the current political scene in America, because of his latest piece. Let me just reiterate what Lord Black quoted in his latest piece from that inaugural speech. For the trust reposed in me, I will return the courage and the devotion that fits the time. I can do no less. We face the arduous days that lie before us in the warm courage of national unity, with the clear consciousness of seeking old and precious moral values, with the clean satisfaction that comes from the stern performance of duty by old and young alike. Lord Black is with us. Follow him right now at Conrad M. Black, author of the book, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Champion of Freedom. Lord Black, I'm so glad we found the original audio that you quote in your piece. And you mention it because of this quite universal attempt in the mainstream media to associate the Biden administration with FDR, which you qualify as being nothing short of outright gibberish. Please expand.
Well, look, as you know, and most of your listeners would know, the famous beginning of his first inaugural address, you quoted from right near the end of it, which I did put in a piece I wrote. But the famous beginning was, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Right.
And I put that up to you, your listeners, in contrast to Joe Biden addressing the Congress and the State of the Union message, socially distanced, double masked, double vaccinated. And instead of the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, that was a spectacle that proclaimed something like our entire preoccupation is fear and we are afraid of everything, even something we have no chance of catching as a virus. But to be doubly sure, we will be socially distanced, have only a fifth of the members of the Congress present, masked up, and we're all highly vaccinated. Instead of call to courage and fearlessness, it was a call to fear and the absence of courage. And I thought the whole symbolism in the midst of this ludicrous pretense that has been made that Joe Biden bears any resemblance to FDR was very, very striking. Now, look, that President Biden admires President Roosevelt, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong with it. I admire him, too. Most people do. That he has his painting behind his desk, perfectly fine. But, why not? He was the longest-serving president and one of the greatest presidents. But, you know, FDR came in the midst of an absolute economic calamity. The banking system had failed. The stock exchanges and commodity exchanges were closed. The unemployment rate was 30%. There was no direct relief for them. There were machine gun nests at the corners of the great federal buildings for the, on inauguration day for the first time since the Civil War. He had a huge mandate for radical change, and he exercised it from the first hour he was in office. The United States had full employment a year ago when this COVID thing started. It was a booming economy. Even come in the week before the election, 56% of Americans said they were better off than they had been 4 years before. The Dow had risen 30%. When Roosevelt was inaugurated, it had declined 90% in the previous 4 years. And Joe Biden, in his remarks, referred to having been on the abyss of insurrection and autocracy, as if Donald Trump was going to stage a coup d'etat and impose a dictatorship on the country. I mean, it is an absolute outrage. I mean, it is gibberish in terms of the logic, or at least historical well-foundedness of it. The one president came in a real crisis with a mandate to address it and addressed it. The other president, probably rigged election in a country fundamentally in good condition, and is pretending he took over a basket case, but is actually making it a basket case.
Let's expand upon that earlier point. You're right. You do mention that the most, I think you call it the most famous speech after Lincoln's, even better remembered by most than Kennedy's, any of JFK's speeches. FDR's line that the only thing we have to fear is for itself. Forget the politics for a moment or the comparative presidential histories. Just from the point of view of humanity or the individual human, this question of fear. Recently, to celebrate his 100 days in office, the current incumbent went to Georgia, where he visited the home of President Carter. And you can see the footage, you can see the tweets in the home when they are enclosed, Conrad. They're not wearing masks. And when they walk out of the building, after his own CDC, his own Centers for Disease Control, say there is no need to wear masks anymore outside, that's when President Biden and Jill Biden don their masks. What message does it send, not just to the American people or to anybody who maybe has an irrational fear of the China virus?
Well, it shows, to an objective observer, a lack of confidence in any of the vaccines. Obviously, the president has been thoroughly vaccinated. So it indicates if he has to do that, he really has no faith that the vaccine is going to protect him from anything. And secondly, to those who are a little better informed, it shows the extreme tenacity with which the administration and the Democratic Party are trying to cling to the myth they created of a terrible and open-ended crisis, rather like a black plague that might strike down anyone at any time of any age, and that we all had to virtually hide under our beds, double masked, and make sure they were well separated beds, because otherwise we wouldn't be socially distanced. I mean, it is a council of fear and a maintenance, in spite of all facts, all science, in the idea that there is no progress. We're in a desperate struggle, but we will get there because of this policy of fear, which is effectively a simulation of cowardly moles, rather than the act of brave people who, by the efforts of the country and the relevant members of the financial community, have in record time produced and distributed this virus, a vaccine. I mean, it's been an astonishing triumph to produce this vaccine as quickly as has been done, and this administration is utterly incapable of giving the previous administration any credit for any of it. I mean, the whole thing is a regime of lies, and it's very bothersome, and it's destructive of the credibility of the political institutions and the people who occupy those institutions in the country, I think.
I don't want to give them any tips, the Anita Dunns of the world, but and I think your phrase is utterly apt, a regime of lies. Is there any way that a regime of lies can flick a switch and one day tell the truth about masks or about the vaccine, or will it be a constant ratcheting up of the fear that we are witnessing over the last year?
Well, I think we are now closing, and I think I saw a number yesterday of over 60% are practically immunized.
Yes.
One way or another. They've had it, and therefore they have some immunity, or they've been vaccinated and they have some immunity. And so, now the numbers are starting to fall steeply, and no less steeply, as you know, in wide open states like Texas and Florida.
Right.
Than in states that made the mistake of shutting down. But the point is that we're going to get to the point, to the place where the polls will show and the intuition of any touch with public opinion will show that obviously it's a declining threat. So then, and I think you had exactly right, Price, you click the switch and all of a sudden it's Biden has cured the problem. Biden has rescued the country from this ghastly plague that he inherited from his predecessor. It was completely out of control. They didn't even have a vaccine, or if they did, they hadn't they hadn't spread it about at all. Never mind.
And not only that,
a million people vaccinated.
Not only that, Biden saying there wasn't a vaccine when he became president, despite having been vaccinated before taking the oath of office. He is Lord Conrad Black. Follow him right now, Conrad M. Black. And the book is Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Champion of Freedom. Don't touch that dial. Relief Factor. If you're in daily pain and have found relief nowhere else, you must take this 100% drug-free product that has rid me of my lower back pain that I suffered with for more than 9 years, almost a decade. Call 800-500-8384. Order your 3-week quick starter pack right now at relieffactor.com. You have nothing to lose except the pain. You've waited long enough. You know it makes sense. Do it today. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
The fact that I wasn't a fan of our last president's character issues. And I'm also no fan. Aren't you embarrassed?
Paul Mitt Romney at the GOP convention in Utah being booed off the stage. I must ask our friend, presidential historian, amongst many, many other attributes, Lord Conrad Black. Follow him on Twitter at Conrad M. Black, author of A President Like No Other, Donald John Trump. Lord Black, is that a good sign? Is that reception in Utah for Senator Romney a sign that the populism of the anti-establishment new Trump right is finally gaining roots even in places like Utah?
I think yes, except I don't think it's final. I think it took root early in Utah. You recall in 2016 the Never Trumpers ran an independent candidate there, McMullen, his name was.
Yes.
That's what they called his party, in order to try and split that vote because they thought it would be such a close election that might throw it to the House of Representatives because Clinton and Trump would be so close in the Electoral College. Well, of course, I think he got 750,000 votes, but Trump still won the state easily. So, I think it's been a long time that the Never Trumpers have taken to realize that Trump is like some case of the flu or some dreadful meteor that passes through and then vanishes. I mean, even Mitch McConnell, right after the election, well, they were all up chirping, saying, well, you know, you've got to be a good sport and concede this. Never mind, the election's obviously stolen in some places. I mean, not the popular vote, but the Electoral College vote. At 42,000 votes, if they'd flipped between Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Wisconsin, that would have done it. And with all these drop boxes and all the other, you know, revisionist things that were going on in the vote counting formula. Well, Trump had to be a good boy and retire in a sportsmanlike way, like Jimmy Carter and George Bush Sr. did when they were denied re-election. And McConnell said, we'll be back to normal now. Well, you know, they just don't get it. I mean, I don't understand that a man of McConnell's intelligence, a seven-term senator, and a cagey senator, there's no doubt about that. I mean, he's not a great popular figure, but he's a very astute politician, that he didn't understand how profound the Trump movement was. I mean, not just because of Trump, but I mean, essentially that cast of view, that opinion that the country had been misgoverned by an elite and it should be governed by people with much more respect for the traditional virtues of the country and the traditional working and middle class values of the United States. And they're still just not catching on. And for a man like Romney, who is a very able man, he was a senior consultant in Bain and Company. He was the governor of Massachusetts. He was the presidential candidate in 2012. I mean, he certainly is an able man and knows the country well. For him not to grasp that just as...
Yeah, I think it's indicative of far too many people in this city. Let's talk about what's happening in this city, in the Senate just today. The new Attorney General, Biden's Attorney General, Merrick Garland, was speaking before one of the committees. And it goes to something you've written for the Epic Times, just half a sentence. The congressional Democrats and the new administration were hoping to destroy Donald Trump completely. It's not just Donald Trump, let's listen to what the AG, the new Attorney General, is planning with the FBI and the DOJ.
First, our budget supports my commitment to protecting our national security, including addressing both international and domestic terrorism, while respecting civil liberties. It includes increases of $45 million for the FBI domestic terrorism investigations and $40 million for the U.S. attorneys to manage increasing domestic terrorism caseloads.
More than 95% of all those who were arrested during the Antifa and BLM riots have been released without bail. There are still people from the events of January the 6th in prison for trespassing in Congress. Does this concern you that we're having $80 million increase of budget for this administration to look into domestic terrorism? Who do we think those domestic terrorists are, Lord Black?
Well, I think the concern is the point you just made in the way you formulated the question. If the Attorney General was planning to use this money on an absolutely neutral basis to target those who could be described as domestic terrorists or potential domestic terrorists and to address the threat in that way uniformly and with neutrality as to where their political leanings might be, I think that would be justifiable. I mean, look, all summer long, you had dozens of American cities put to the torch, and I believe over $2 billion of damage done,
yes.
50 people killed, 700 police injured. I mean, if that sort of thing was being focused on, that'd be fine. But if what we're going to get is the use of the FBI and the Justice Department in a frankly politicized manner to attack the supporters of the Republican Party, whether they're potentially dangerous or not, and give a free pass as we did in the manner you just mentioned to all those who tore the country up during the summer, then that is the politicization of the Justice Department and is a And I have to say, I find it hard to believe that Justice Garland would be a party to such a thing. But if that did occur, that would be a severe undermining of the foundations of democracy in the United States. And I think most Americans, regardless of party, oppose that.
We only have a minute left, but we opened the show with Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who, of course, had his offices raided last week.
And his home.
Your reaction to the events of last week with regards to the man who got New York back on its feet after 9/11?
An absolute scandal. And furthermore, the most shocking thing about it is the misjudgment of the people who did it. The idea they had that the American people would believe for one second, or any significant number of Americans would believe, that it was an appropriate thing to have a force in at 6 o'clock in the morning in the home of the former two-term mayor of New York and U.S. attorney for that district, it's just insane. I mean, when he has for 18 months been proffering to them precisely what they got a warrant to come and take, and even then they declined to fill the warrant when he suggested they take further articles to do with Biden's son. I mean, the whole thing is an outrage, and I must say it has to breed a good deal of concern and skepticism about how this whole thing has been conducted.
If they can do it to General Mike Flynn, if they can do it to Rudy Giuliani, and even our loyal friends of the show, Joe DiGennaro and Victoria Tansing, then who is safe in Biden's America? Find out more. Read his most recent book, A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. And follow him on Twitter, Conrad M. Black. His articles available at the Epoch Times and American Greatness, amgreatness.com. Thank you, Lord Black. Your calls next here on 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752.
There is a clear money laundering violation involving the Biden family. It's on paper from Ukraine to Latvia to Cyprus to a hidden bank account.
Oh, I can't wait. What has Rudy got on those Hunter Biden hard drives that the FBI strangely weren't interested in? Money laundering? I can't wait, because you can't stop him. FARA violations, what a disgrace. Let's go to your calls, 833-33-GORKA, 833-334-6752. Chris in California, line 2.
Yes, hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Do you guys believe that the vaccine is beneficial to beating the coronavirus?
I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. I'm not taking it. Why do you ask?
Okay, so you're not taking it, but it seems like your radio station promotes it constantly.
My radio station? I don't own a radio station. I'm on 300 radio stations.
I listen to AM 870 in California, and it seems like a lot of the guys on this channel are so loving that Trump brought the vaccine.
Who's promoting the vaccine? Don't make
the guy that you just had on was everybody saying how good Trump was to get this vaccine, but the vaccine right now is killing people.
Hang on, Chris. You gotta actually stick to facts, okay? My guest, Chris, my turn now. My turn now, Chris. Chris, stop talking. Stop talking, or we'll pot you down. Sure. Okay. My last guest said that the Biden administration is not giving credit to President Trump for creating 3 vaccines in less than a year. He didn't say, take the vaccine. He made a statement of fact. Do you not agree that factually Donald Trump developed 3 vaccines faster than has ever been done? Is that true or false, Chris?
Okay, so if they're bad, is that good for him?
Who said they were good or bad? We're talking about giving credit where credit is due.
It's they're failed. They killed all the ferrets in their Pfizer.
Oh, killed all their ferrets. Goodbye, Chris. You're a loony. Goodbye. Killed all the ferrets. Oh, no, it killed the ferrets. Were they wearing tinfoil hats at the time? For the record, Chris, you loona. If you want to take a vaccine, fine. I'm not taking one. As the liberals love to tell us when it comes to abortion, my body, my choice. If you are a Christian, if you're a Catholic, if you're anti-abortion, if you believe that the embryo is a human, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is a massive problem given its use of embryonic cells. Likewise, the other two vaccines are not traditional vaccines. They are experimental, and they don't even have full FDA approval, and they use a version of mRNA, which is modifying genetically the makeup of the vaccine as it enters your body. So that's a reason I wouldn't take it. If I hadn't had the virus, which I had last year, so I have more antibodies in my body naturally than any vaccine could ever give me. So, Chris, clean your flipping ears out before you ring back. Thank you. Stan, line one.
Hey, doctor.
Hey.
Hi.
Go ahead. We don't have much. You know, we've only got 3 hours a day. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had to take exception when you were complaining about that CIA commercial about when you mentioned she had general anxiety disorder. I just want to say that I am a psychiatrist, and I've been visited often by the Secret Service and other intelligence agencies when my patient put down they were seeing me, and they'd ask me certain questions about their suitability for participating. And I didn't look at their diagnosis per se. I looked at how patriotic they were and how I felt they didn't show any sociopathic tendencies and how honest I felt they were, and I felt how they could handle their jobs. I didn't really look at the fact that they had a mental condition because they were being managed and treated well, and they usually the Secret Service and the Naval Intelligence went around with my concept of how to evaluate a suitability to handle.
Well, Stan, then you're a quack. If you're evaluating somebody for service in positions that require top secret clearance, and you don't look at their medical record before you do the evaluation or after, you are a hack and a quack. You are part of the problem. If you think that somebody's mental state and their treatment regimen is not applicable to whether you're going to clear them for service, you are part of the problem, and you need to switch off the radio, my friend. Goodbye. God. That was fun, though. Thanks for letting those two through, Jeff. That's exactly what my doctor ordered when it comes to my blood pressure. Okay, guys, if you've got a cell phone, please tell me, please, please, please tell me that it's not with one of the big cell phone providers. Tell me it's with the conservative Christian cell phone company, Patriot Mobile. They're on your side. And right now, because you're listening to this show, they're going to give you 50% off and 2 months free if you convert your number. It's so easy. Join them by calling 972-PATRIOT or call patriotmobile.com/GORKA. They'll send you a free Patriot starter kit and your chance to join their Be a Patriot promotion, where you've got an opportunity to win a phone and cell service for life. And there's 3 ways you can do that. Just make a donation to one of their conservative charities, switch your service to Patriot, or just tell them what it means to be a Patriot. Send in your thoughts. It's super simple, and you will be in a community that shares your values. Get the discounts. Use my name, GORKA. Go to patriotmobile.com/Gorka or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. PatriotMobile.com for your discount, free starter kit, and a chance to win. PatriotMobile.com/Gorka.
Side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
It's official, my friends. Biden's congressional address was a declaration of war on small business. He's pushed for a massive tax increase, 31% on struggling small businesses. Then there's the $2 trillion so-called infrastructure plan, which is really a $2 trillion tax hike on America's job creators. Biden wants to make it harder for small business owners to keep their doors open and workers on their payrolls by mandating a $15 minimum wage as well. And that's not counting the Green New Deal, which will drive up energy prices on small businesses. One group is fighting hard against these attacks, and that's why I urge urge you to become a member of the Job Creators Network. If you own a small business, if you work for one, if you support them, please do your part. Join GCN's army of small business advocates. Go to joingcn.com today. That's the Job Creators Network. Learn more at joinjcn.com. Somebody who knows about all of these issues, a good friend of the show, a great American, is Texas 36th Congressional District Representative, Congressman Brian Babin. Congressman Babin, welcome back to America First.
Always great to be with you, Dr. Seb Gorka. You know, you're a great American. You're the kind of immigrants we love to see coming over here to the United States.
A legal immigrant, indeed. So you went on a fact-finding mission. You took more than a dozen congressmen and women to the Rio Grande sector to find out for yourself what's going on. Congressman Babin, please tell our millions of listeners and viewers what you saw.
Well, what we saw was nothing short of appalling. Remembering very vividly the Democrats, asking and telling the Americans that Trump was keeping kids in cages and he was inhumane and cruel, et cetera, et cetera. We went down there and we saw things that absolutely were nothing but child abuse. Through the reversal of really good policies created by the Trump administration to control our border, and really just inviting people from all over the world, primarily from the Northern Triangle states, but coming in by the tens of thousands. We had 174,000 come through, in the month of March. We had children, unaccompanied children, come through at 19,000 that month. And we saw, we went by and saw some of these facilities that are run by the Customs and Border Protection. There were supposed to be, and this was at Donna, Texas, there were supposedly no more than 250 unaccompanied children in this facility. There were 5,700 kids in this facility, and it was unbelievable to behold. The Department of Homeland Security had a representative there that shadowed us and tried to keep us from taking pictures. CBP officers felt, I think, very uncomfortable even speaking in front of these individuals. And just to put it mildly, it is a crisis that the Biden administration has denied repeatedly, and they have empowered the cartels. They are endangering American citizens, and it is a disaster unfolding down there that is not good at all.
And Congressman, what does it mean? What does it say to you as somebody from Texas, somebody who's representing your constituents, trying to do the right thing, that the person who was made the point person for this issue, the Vice President, Kamala Harris, hasn't even deigned to visit the border like you have?
It has been over 40 days since she was tapped as Biden's border czarina, whatever you want to call her. And she has really expressed very little interest in this job at all. We invited her, believe it or not, Dr. Gorka. We sent her a letter inviting her to meet us at various points of her choosing on our itinerary when we were down there. We heard absolutely nothing from her. The Biden administration and the Democrats in general, they have a grand strategy, and everybody just needs to quit beating around the bush. The grand strategy is to just open our borders and replace a large portion of the American electorate with people who are illegal aliens to come in, get on government services, and vote perpetually a majority of Democrats in this country. This is what every move they've made is to take permanent control of our nation and foist socialism on us, H.R. 1, to take over our election process, to their border bills that they want to pass. Everything they do is geared to give them a permanent majority and really take the power away from the American citizens.
which would make us a one-party state. Follow this man right now at Rep. Brian Babin. Last minute and a half we have with you, Brian. Tell us, it's sold to the American people trillions of dollars that's going to result in real infrastructure improvement. What's the reality with regards to Biden's plan for infrastructure in America?
Well, I serve on transportation and infrastructure and have been since I've been in Congress. In fact, I'm the senior Republican Texan on this. I represent lots and lots of infrastructure, so I know what I'm talking about. I represent four ports. I've got waterways. I've got airports. I've got rails, pipelines. I know what infrastructure is. And what this is simply a $2.3 trillion boondoggle. It's a Trojan horse where only probably 10 to 12% of this thing is true infrastructure. The rest of it is electric vehicles, 500,000 stations to recharge across the country, green new deal policies that are really meant to destroy the fossil fuel industry and put us on nothing but this so-called renewable sources of energy, which we saw fail during the winter storm Uri here in Texas when our grid went down because we had up to 25% of our grid was for wind, and they froze up. It didn't work. We've got enough fossil fuels in the state of Texas and this country to last us for three centuries, and we cannot run our economy. We cannot keep Americans, employed by going to strictly renewable energy. We have to have fossil fuels. Our economy depends on it here, and not only in Texas, but in Louisiana and numerous other states.
It's the engine.
We've got to have it.
It's the engine. It is the lifeblood of this nation. Keep doing what you do. Thank you for telling the truth. It's not an infrastructure bill. It is a boondoggle. Follow this man. Can't wait to have you back in studio. Rep. Brian Babin on Twitter, Texas36. I'm Sebastian Gorka. More of your calls here on America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Job Creators Network.
I don't get to check every cut before we do this show. That's why we have a trusty Mr. G. Mr. G, can you tee up, what's this thing with Don Lemon? He's got issues with Rick Santorum. What's the backstory?
This happened during the crossover that's supposed to be about 10 seconds, and him and Fredo do about 5-10 minutes every night.
Which must be the worst television in the history of television.
It depends.
Fredo and Chris.
For me, right now, that is much-watched television. That is my favorite part of the night.
Why? Are you a masochist?
No, because you have two idiots unscripted. That's why.
So what happened? Why is Donnie so perturbed?
Santorum made a speech last week. He said something that wasn't even really that controversial. The left flipped out about it. Fredo brought him on to talk about it, and Don Lemon was so upset that...
You mean Fredo invited Santorum,
yes,
and that got Donnie upset?
Yeah, because he didn't apologize, and he was very upset.
Didn't apologize for saying what exactly?
It was something about... He did a speech about... That Native Americans, their culture didn't really impact our culture. Something like that.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Okay, and this cut is really wacky, right?
Yes. The breathing's tough.
Do we trust... Eric, do we trust Mr. G?
I don't know if I've heard him this enthusiastic about a cut in a very long time.
This is true. This is why I'm worried. Shad, what do you think? Do we go for it?
It's just live radio.
Says the guy who's always poised with the dumb button. He's always ready to dump on the dumb button just in case somebody gets a little too excited. Well, I think Don Lemon got a bit excited. I'm putting my life in Jeff's hands. Play cut.
Rick Santorum, really? Who did he think? Did he actually think it was a good idea for him to come on television and try to whitewash the whitewash that he whitewashed? I mean, it was horrible. Horrible and insulting, and I apologize to the viewers who were insulted by it, because I was sitting in my office furious because he's done it so many times, and it's just, I'm sorry, it was so egregious and insulting, and everything that we talk about the founding of this country, Europeans did not found this country.
I just realized what I did wrong. I'm furious. Do I need to do more of that, Jeff?
I should have labeled it Don Lemon Lamaze class.
For those not in the know, breathing exercise was for pregnant women. But what he was doing there was really insulting Fredo, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was apologizing for Fredo's show.
And Fredo just sat there for
Fredo
minutes.
Stared at the... You gotta watch us on Rumble, guys. The video clips, it's priceless. He's just like staring at the camera as his colleague is apologizing for how crappy his show is. Only on CNN. I just want to see Brian Stelter's media commentary on that cut. Hey, Stelty, was that doctored? Can you tell us? Come on, Mr. Potato Head. I need to know. Ah. That was fun. Stacey, Gabby, don't go anywhere. This is America First. Our number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Hey, stay on this channel.